Ready? Go ahead.
This is
episode
13
of 1F Jeff.
Okay, that was good. You didn't like it?
Well, I don't think we were in unison.
We were not.
Okay, we'll try it one more time.
This
is
episode
13
of 1F Jeff.
Okay, that one sounded a little sad. Just try one more. This sounds a little bit happier.
Okay,
just like
stand up.
Last time.
And
this
is
episode
13
of 1F Jeff.
That was good. That was good.
13 is the sixth prime number, part of the Fibonacci sequence. It carries heavy cultural weight, often unlucky in Western superstition, skipped floors, Friday the 13th, but considered lucky in Italy. Symbolically, it appears in religion, 13 at the Last Supper, Bar Mitzvah at 13, U.S. history, 13 colonies, 13 stripes on the flag, and tarot, death card.
Hello, my podcast friends. This is indeed episode 13, lucky number 13, and this is day 35 of my trip, in case you're not sick of me telling you that all the time. I tried to cut some of those out of this episode because I realized I was saying it at the beginning of every recording, so no need to keep up on that. I mean, if this trip goes on for another year, it's going to get really, what, this is day 235 of this trip? I don't know. So, I am back from Bogota. I got back last night, stayed at my sister's in San Fran last night, and then took the train back down here to San Jose, and I am once again in the tiny house. Thank you to the Matajasic family, Kirsten, Ryan, Millie, and Walt, for doing that wonderful and enthusiastic introduction. I do appreciate it. I love it, actually. And thank you to Patricia for sitting down and talking to me in this episode. Patricia and I had a wonderful time in Bogota. I like her more now than I did before Bogota. So that's good. We're already talking about where and when we can find each other again. Hopefully soon. Probably soon. Definitely soon. I did want to mention something that Patricia reminded me of as she was about to get on the plane yesterday. It's a random thing. When we did the laundry in the Airbnb, when she took the laundry out and brought it back upstairs, we found we had somebody else's clothes. Like, we had a pair of socks, we had a t-shirt, and some panties. We have no idea how they got in there. The laundry machine was empty when I put our clothes in, and the dryer was also empty when I put our clothes in. At least I'm pretty sure it was. And we kind of think that maybe there's a thing in Colombia where people just, you know, if they just want to dry a few things, they just throw them in there with somebody else's and hope for the best. I don't know. We ended up leaving them, you know, back in the laundry room. So hopefully they will be returned to their rightful owners. The panties was the weird one. I don't wear panties, but if I did, even my underwear, I wouldn't just start throwing my underwear in somebody else's laundry. But then again, you know, I'm an American. Maybe there's customs that we are unaware of that go on in Colombia. I don't know. If that's a custom, then I don't know what to do. Good news for my Patreon subscribers. I'll be posting some photos from my trip on there in the next day or two for you to feast your eyes on, photos of things that I talk about in this episode, so you'll be able to connect the things, you know, instead of using that pesky imagination of yours. If you are not a Patreon subscriber and you would also like to see the photos, well, I have a solution for you. You can go to patreon.com/1fjeff, and for as little as $5 a month, you too can have the visual aids for all the episodes that I've done on this road trip. Join the club. Be one of the cool kids. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. It does help, and it does mean a lot to me. And whether you are a Patreon subscriber or just a humble listener, thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Here's me in an Uber in Bogota. I'm in Colombia. I finally got here. 9 hours of flying. I'm in a car on my way to the hotel right now. I haven't slept. I slept maybe for a half an hour on the plane, so I'm super tired. But I'm alive, and I'm in Colombia, so that's something, right? My Apple Watch just notified me that it's noticed a change in my sleeping trend. Yeah, no shit. And we're at 8,400 feet, so we'll see how that treats my body over the next few days.
And Patricia will be here in 4 or 5 hours. So that's exciting. I can't believe I get to see her again. Kind of magical.
Hola. It is day 27 of my trip, I think. Yeah, that seems right. I'm in Bogota, Colombia, at La Colina Hotel Cottage, which is a very quirky little kind of out-of-the-way hotel, boutique-y hotel we stayed in for our first night. There's like 6 or 8 rooms. They're all very artsy. It's all kind of very random. There's little spaces to like sit. I think they have weddings a lot, lots of trees. Anyway, it's very pretty. I got here about 3 o'clock yesterday. Patricia got here at about 8:30, just in time for us to have dinner here, which was very good. Slept pretty good last night, although not enough, and I'm feeling quite tired today. I think it's a combination of altitude and continued lack of sleep. Hopefully tonight I'll sleep well. We're about to go to the hotel that we're staying in for most of the trip, which is basically in the city. I don't honestly know exactly where it is, but it's in a popular area, so that'll be good. Patricia's good. Things are good. I'm going to try to get her to talk on this at some point. I can't quite believe I'm in Colombia. Very surreal, because like about a month ago, I had no idea that I was coming to Colombia, and now here I am. Life is random if you make an effort. Anyway, Patricia's almost done with her shower, so I'm going to go. Hola, buenos dias. It is the 29th day of my road trip, journey, experience, call it what you will. I've been doing it for 29 days now. That's a month, is it? Or is 30 days a month? Whatever. I am lying on my bed in our hotel room in Bogota, Colombia. Patricia just left. She has a meeting in Medellin today, so she's flying there and staying there tonight, and I'm staying here. Yesterday was kind of a recovery / acclimate day. The first night hotel was very cool and quirky and interesting. The vibe was weird, though. It was like there was a man there who worked there. I think he's one of the owners who I really just got the impression he didn't care for me. And I don't know why. And it was really strange. Either that or he's just terrible at hospitality, because I didn't feel welcome at any point by him. And that's not good for a hotel or a boutique motel, whatever it is. I liked the environment and the whole aesthetics of the place, but the hospitality element could use some work. The food, though, was spectacular. I'm now a fan of ceviche, thanks in part to Patricia and thanks in part to the place we stayed last night. Delicious. Anyway, so then we took a taxi over to this hotel. We had issues at this hotel, too. We were supposed to be able to check in. Check-in time is 3 o'clock, and we got here at like, I mean, admittedly early, at like 1:30, thinking we could check in early, but we couldn't check in early. But they said, oh, your room will be ready at like 2 or 2:30, I think, maybe, or 1:30 or 2. So we just waited in the, in like one of the restaurants, and then it was like 2 o'clock, 2:30, and then eventually, like, it's almost 3 o'clock, so we go up and ask, was our room ready? And they're like, no, it's still not ready. I guess they had a bunch of people check out today or something. I'm not entirely sure because I don't speak Spanish very well. The impression I got was that they'd had a bunch of people check out and that the room wasn't ready, which kind of pissed me off, to be honest. And the amount of time, like, we were literally standing at the counter for like 10 minutes while this guy was just typing into this computer. And like, what on earth are you doing? What on earth, like, this is literally a pretty simple thing here. You work in a hotel, right? You find a room for a person, and then you push a button and it says this is that room for the person, whatever. I don't know the details. But whatever it is, it doesn't require literally 10 minutes of typing. Like, this is not rocket science. I don't know. Maybe there's something I don't understand about the hotel business, but boy, I couldn't quite believe how long it was taking for him to do everything. So then eventually he's like 10 more minutes. And by this point, it's 3:20. And so I'm starting to get a little pissed off. Patricia, bless her soul, is a patient person. And so she's not getting frustrated at all. And I'm trying to hold my shit together. But at a certain point, I'm just like, when are we getting our room? Blah, 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 blah. And they said 10 minutes. So, you know, 15 minutes later, we finally got a room. And then we get to the room. The internet doesn't work. Blah, 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 blah. The vibe of this hotel, it's not a terrible hotel, but the vibe of it is very much a hotel that was once a great luxury hotel that has not been renovated or updated in decades. There's a telephone in the bathroom for some reason. Maybe that's a Colombian thing, but I don't think so. Like, I mean, I've seen hotels with phones in bathrooms before, but it's been a good 20 years since I've seen that. There's also like a weird coat rack thing in here that I didn't even know what the fuck it was when I walked in. It's like this wooden stand that Patricia said, it's to put your coat on and stuff, but it's like right in the middle of the room. So I don't know. So the hotel's been a little bit of a frustration point, but the bed's very comfortable. And in the middle of the night, I accidentally knock my water bottle, which is sitting like on the nightstand right next to my bed. I accidentally knocked it off of the nightstand because it made something like a hydro flask, so it's like metal, so it made a loud noise. And I just was like, fuck, and I went back to bed. Because honestly, when I put the bottle there before I went to bed, I remember thinking I'm gonna knock it off, and I did. So sometimes, you know, one's powers of prediction are pretty impressive. So that happened, and I just like ignored it and just thought, oh, I'll just pick it up tomorrow. So then about, I don't know how long, an hour later, I'd fallen back asleep. We both had. And then there's this alarm of some sort coming from my bedstand. I'd never heard this particular tone from my phone or anything before. So I'm like half awake, frantically scrambling to make this noise stop. And I see that it's my phone, and the phone is giving me an alarm saying there's water like in the charging port or something, like an alert. So I'm like, shit. And then I look around and there's like water everywhere. I don't know how the water got out of the hydro flask. It was closed, but who knows? So I take my phone like out of the case. I wipe it down with the towel. They only gave us two towels here for some reason. And I put it on the different table and then I go back to bed. The phone is fine. I solved that. But it was exciting. And there was a big puddle of water on the floor. It was an exciting night. I did get some sleep. I feel a little better today. I'm still a little bit groggy and a little bit altitude-y. Is that a verb or an adjective? What was I? Altitude-y. That would be an adjective. Yeah. Great job with the grammar, Jeff. Oh, and our toilet clogged. I didn't do it. I don't think I did it, but I might have done it, but I don't think I did. But the toilet clogged, so that's exciting. So it's been an eventful 24 hours, and there's no coffee in the room. Like, for a country like Colombia that is so known for its coffee, they really are stingy with it. Like, they don't even deliver it for room service. Like, there's a room service menu, but there's no coffee on it. They won't deliver coffee. You have to go downstairs to the breakfast to get coffee, which to me is like, if you've got good coffee, if that's a part of your country's like identity in a way, like, flaunt it, you know, give it away on the streets for fuck's sake. Although maybe that's the strategy, is to make it, you know, make it a rarity, you know, make it hard to come by. I don't know. I'm not sure what the point there is. Because in the United States, every hotel you go to, even the shittiest ones, like every single hotel I was on this trip had a fucking shitty coffee maker in the room. Although I wouldn't recommend that for Colombia, because those coffee makers are really pretty sketchy. But at least let me get it to my room. At least let me have a pot of coffee in the morning. Because the problem is, I'm going to go to breakfast and I'm just going to want to drink some coffee for a while and not eat. But the expectation is going to be that I eat and drink coffee at the same time, which to me is ridiculous. Who wants that? Not me. Tell us how you really feel, Jeff. All right, I will. Finally, there's Pringles in the minibar in the hotel. So that's all.
Hello, my friends. I bought some coca leaves, and I am going to try and chew some of these, because that is apparently a good way to remedy altitude sickness. And also, it apparently gives you a little bit of a buzz. So we'll see. I looked up some YouTube videos on how to do this. I thought it'd be exciting if I did it while you're listening, but I can't really hold the mic very well, so maybe you can hear me. I don't know. Let me turn it up. There we go. Here's the sound of the bag. There you go. In the bag it says whole coca leaf. That's all it says. All right. Let's give this a shot. I'm going to take a bunch of these. I don't think this is going to taste very good, but in fact, I can almost assure myself at this point that this is going to taste rather awful, but you don't know until you try. All right. So I'm going to take some of these. I don't really know how many to take. I'll just kind of fold them up there, roll them up into a little ball, I guess. And then put them. They're quite dry, so they're kind of coming apart in my mouth. I'm just gonna chew a little bit more here. I don't know. This is pretty fucked up. Hold on. I don't even know how much to take, really. I guess I'll just put a little more. I mean, can't hurt, right? I think that's about as much as I can get in there. I guess it takes a while for it to kind of break down into a paste. So I don't know. We'll see what happens here. This may not air on the podcast. Or maybe I'll get some new sponsors. You never know. I mean, this could bring up into a whole new world of sponsorship. It's not entirely unpleasant. Like, it doesn't have a very strong taste, but it's got an earthy taste, a very earthy taste. But it's not strong or unpleasant, particularly unpleasant, that is. It's just weird because you have leaves in your mouth. So I guess we'll see what happens here. I'll reach back out if this anything ends up happening here. I'll keep you posted. So it's about 15 or 20 minutes later. And yeah, there's a little something. It said that, you know, there'd be some numbness in my cheek and tongue. I'm not really feeling any of that. I mean, I'm feeling different, but I'm not really sure how. I feel a little bit more alert, I guess. I don't know what to expect, so I feel good. I'm not as tired as I was, so that's something. I guess I'll tell you what today was. Today I took a taxi to Candelaria, and I got off right by the Gold Museum. There's a Gold Museum here with this, like all these. Well, I'll tell you about that in a second. I got off right near the Gold Museum out of the taxi, and I was hungry. I wandered around for a little bit looking for a place to eat. I always get really this kind of like insecurity when I'm in foreign countries and I don't speak the language about going to restaurants and not knowing what's going on. And I'm trying to get over that, particularly when I'm by myself. When I'm with somebody else, it's a little easier, but when I'm by myself, I get weirdly insecure or self-conscious or something about going into a restaurant and eating by myself or whatever. So anyway, eventually I decided on a restaurant and I just went in and sat down. And a woman comes over, and I'm like, you know, menu before. There's apparently no menu. So she starts just rattling off things on the menu, and I have no idea what she's saying, really. I understood a few words. I understood salad, ensalada. I understood carne. Anyway, understood that. So I was like, okay, you know, ensalada. I have no idea what I ordered. I had no idea. So she brings out this plate, which had like... it had a piece of like very thin steak on it, and then it had a pile of rice with a sunny side up egg on it, and then it had a little salad on the plate, and then there was some like two small pieces of corn on the cob, and some gravy on it. It was quite good. Oh, she also brought out some soup, and I think it might have been that famous Colombian potato soup, but I really have no idea. But it was pretty good. Yeah, I ate all of it almost, so it was good. And then she brings a piece of paper over with the bill, how much it was. And I'm like trying to say, like, do you take credit cards? And I couldn't explain it. So I take my wallet out and I show her, you know, my credit. And she's like, oh, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm thinking, oh, well, shit, I don't have any cash on me. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do.
So eventually I go up to the counter and I have my phone translation app to say, like, to show her, like, is there an ATM? I don't have any cash on me. And apparently it's not that they don't take credit cards. Their internet is down or was down, so they weren't taking any credit cards. So they told me where an ATM or something, but I just saw there was a bunch of exchanges, like money exchanges in that area. So I just went to one of those and exchanged $20 and brought the money back. Very exciting. So then I went to it started to rain. I was wandering around for a while. It started to rain. So I went to the gold museum. Oro is gold in Spanish, I think. And it was basically a giant museum full of one of the largest collections of like historic gold artifacts in the world. Like they have all these like tribal artifacts made of gold. There's exhibits on how they, you know, mold them, all this kind of thing. It was impressive. I mean, I'm not really into gold that much, to be honest. And it was a lot. It was like four floors of it. So I kind of like rushed my way through. It was also only $1 to get in. So I wasn't like, you know, breaking the bank. There was some cool stuff in there, but by and large, it was kind of like, eh. I mean, if I'd been really into gold or artifacts, then that'd be sweet. But not really into either of those things too much. I mean, artifacts, depending on the artifact. But there was a funny one where they showed like a dude in like a burial chamber. I forget what the context was. And there was like a big gold thing that they, I guess, put on his dick or his penis. Pardon me. And it was small. It was a small little thing. So it made me wonder like how he fit it on there. Maybe they had smaller penises back then. I don't know. And then there was one room in there where you like walked in the dark, and there's a person standing, there's a round room, and there's a person standing there like a guard with a flashlight to help everybody get in the dark. And then like these bizarre tribal / animal sounds start playing, and the lights start flashing on different gold objects. It was like about a 5 or 10 minute show. I didn't really understand what the point was. It seemed like this was all the leftover like pieces of gold stuff they didn't know what to do with, so they just decided, oh, we'll make like a little fun performative. I don't know. It was weird. Then there was like a hole in the floor with glass on it, and there were like gold things down there too, like gold little pendants and artifacts and stuff. Weird. Interestingly, no gift shop. You'd think there'd be a gift shop at the gold museum. You'd think there'd be a real big opportunity for a gift shop at a gold museum, but no. Anyway, so then I went, walked through a market or two, walked through like a souvenir market kind of thing. And I really don't care for those. Like I did those in Mexico. There's a ton of those in Mexico, these like, you know, markets for souvenirs. And like, it's just the stands. There's like a bunch of stands and everybody kind of has the same thing for the most part. Like just little variations of things, but a lot of people have just the exact same thing. And what I don't care for about it is there's always this, like, I feel pressure to buy something because everybody's always like, oh, hello, buenos dias, buenos dias, buenos dias. And then if you stop for too long in front of a stand, they like start engaging you. And I don't want that. I just want to be able to browse, right? Without being pestered into, you know, buying something. I do need to get a magnet, and there are an abundance of magnets. It's the amount of magnets that were being sold was truly impressive. But what they don't have, again, is stickers. And I found this in Mexico, too. Like, I feel like maybe Latin American countries are not capitalizing on the American kind of sticker trend. I think I stumbled upon one souvenir store in Mexico City that actually had stickers that said, like, Mexico on them. That was it. And I didn't see a single sticker in any of these souvenir stores at all. So I didn't buy anything. I just kind of walked through quickly. But everybody said hello to me. Everybody, it was like I was a celebrity. I mean, I don't need any more things. Souvenirs are weird, right? Like, I'm not going to wear a t-shirt that says Colombia on it. I already have enough mugs because that's the thing I would get. So I usually just get magnets and stickers because a magnet I'll just put in my fridge. And then that's fun. You know, that's where you were. It's a small thing. I suppose I could buy like a pottery or some native, you know, craftsman stuff. But like, I don't know. I'll just put that on a shelf. I don't know. Not really my jam. And then after that, I just kind of wandered around that area for a while. And it was kind of fascinating. Like, it's a very chaotic city. It's one of these cities where there's just like motorcycles kind of everywhere going wherever they want, seemingly. Traffic laws are kind of like suggestions, maybe. I couldn't really tell. but you can just kind of want, there's like alleys and wandering. Like, it's kind of neat. I stumbled into this one area that was clearly like the book selling area, and there's all these book vendors. It's like a book marketplace, and there's tons of book vendors everywhere. That was huge, actually. And then I stumbled into another area that was like clothing, household goods vending market area. I stumbled into this like weird, like military equipment vending area. There was a bunch of actually like legit stores, tons of them, with like military like gas masks and camo and, you know, I don't know. I didn't go into any of them, so I don't know. But a lot of that, it reminded me of like the, you know, in New York City, there's like a button district that just sells like buttons. Anyway, the weather's nice. It's like spring all the time here, they say. It's weird. It'll be like sunny and beautiful, and then like 5 minutes later, it'll be like raining, but not like pouring, just like kind of raining. And then 5 minutes later, it'll be kind of sunny again, so. And then what else? Oh, and then I stumbled upon a church. I don't remember what church, Guadalupe something. Patricia said that like it's an extremely Catholic country. And this church was definitely intense. Like there was one little, like, you know how they have these like stalls where people can pray at on a church, like around the outside? One of them had this like statue kind of thing depicting Jesus, like literally being like whipped by whoever, like a guard. And it's just like this bloody, tortured Jesus. And again, it makes me ask myself, like, what would Jesus think of this? Like, if Jesus walked into this church, he'd be like, I don't want to see that ever again. It just seems very strange to me. And then, of course, you know, there's a cross in the middle with Jesus, like, agonizingly hanging from it. Or dead. I don't know. Very weird. And I was raised Catholic, so I think I'm allowed to do this, to talk about it like this. But it was a beautiful church. It really was a beautiful church, aside from the graphic depictions of Jesus. Bogota's cool because it's like in the mountains and it's kind of surrounded by mountains. So like you get these vistas where like with this church, you could see the church. And then behind it, there's like a, you know, a mountain, like a green mountain behind it. It's really pretty. And this big square was full of pigeons, so many pigeons. And there was a little boy who I think just hangs out there all day and like plays with the pigeons on his finger and stuff. And I thought, that's not a good idea. Do his parents know that he's doing that? It's just those pigeons, I mean, they're flying rats. Let's be clear. It was a big square, and there's like pigeons, government buildings, big church, lots of people, a statue of somebody, you know, one of these big squares that they have in Latin American cities and other cities too. And it was cool. Took some pictures. And then it was like 4:30, and I thought, well, it's going to be rush hour, so I should probably get a taxi home or back to my hotel. I was also getting kind of tired. And I did stop and buy some of these coca leaves, which I think are actually working. Oh, and that was a weird place. It was like a mall that I stumbled upon. It was like a mall, but it was outdoors, but like indoors. I don't know how to describe it. It was like a green, like a lime green color, and all the stores inside, it was three stories. All the stores were like tattoo shops, tattoo parlors, mostly tattoo parlors, tons of tattoo parlors, and then sex shops, and then head shops, and then this one hairdresser, I think, and then the leaf store, the coca leaf store. It was weird. And there was this giant, weird green dome thing, right? It was like, must have been built in the 70s. It was very weird. I wish I'd taken more pictures of that, but I felt weirdly out of place in there. I don't know how to put that. So yeah, and then I decided it's time to get a taxi. So I, you know, Uber a taxi, it takes like 10 minutes for it to get there, and it's supposed to take us 30 minutes to get home. I shit you not, I was in this taxi for like an hour and maybe 20 minutes. The traffic in this city is legitimately off the rails. Patricia mentioned to me as we were, when we first got here, that they really are in need of some serious like infrastructure, because there's like 8-9 million people who live in this city. There's no subway or anything. There's buses, lots of buses, but there's no subway or anything really else. So as a result, during rush hour, the entire city turns into like fucking gridlock. So yeah, it was like an hour and 20 minutes in the taxi to get home. And I had to pee and I was hungry. It was only a $10 taxi ride too. That's the crazy part. Yeah, but Bogota's nice. I haven't really interacted with anybody in a meaningful way because I really can't, because I don't speak Spanish well enough. And yeah, this coca leaf is definitely doing something. I mean, it's not crazy, but it's definitely doing something. I can't quite put a finger on it. Yeah. End of day 29. Jesus. Do you hear this? It's 8:45 in the morning, and there is somebody doing construction on the room above us. Day 30, 1 month. I've been traveling. Clearly some construction going on. So when I went down to breakfast, I went to the front desk and asked the man, you know, about the banging, and he said that it would stop again. So I had my breakfast, and then I went back upstairs, and there was still banging, banging, banging. And I don't know, like, maybe this is just something that people in Colombia deal with, noise in hotels, but I don't feel like it's crazy to want a room that doesn't have a loud banging on the ceiling in the morning. So eventually I go back downstairs again. I was basically like, we can't be in a room where there's banging on the ceiling every morning. Like, that's just not going to work. So, like, as with everything in this hotel, seemingly, there's a long conversation about something. There's typing and typing in a conversation. And finally, the man says, like, we can put you in another room. And I'm like, that's fine. It's not ideal because I have to pack all our stuff up. But, you know, if that's the only solution to not being in a room with a banging sound, then okay. And he said, we will get you another room in 10 minutes. And that was about 10 minutes ago. So I have now packed up most of the stuff, most of our clothes and stuff, and I'm now just waiting in the room for our new room. But yeah, my impression of Bogota is, I don't know, I haven't been here that long, so I don't want to make some sort of a grand declaration about it. But it feels a bit disorganized and haphazard, if that makes sense. Okay, so hopefully this will be my last update about this room situation. The man at the front desk said it would be 10 minutes, and he would call me when my new room was ready in 10 minutes. That was about 40 minutes ago. So I went downstairs to see what was going on. I had pretty much packed the stuff up here. And he said it will be ready at 2. So I said, but you said 10 minutes that before. And he nodded and just smiled at me. I don't know if there's a communication, like a language barrier thing here going on. I'm just not entirely sure. I've tried several times to pull out my translation app, but he keeps saying he understands. But I'm just kind of bewildered because I've been waiting, as I was told to, for the new room, and now I'm being told it's 2:00. So I'm going to go get lunch and pray for the best. Hello. Apologize for the banging. I'm still in the old room. I've been told 3 different times that I'll get a new room at so-and-so time or in so-and-so minutes, and it's still not happening. I really have no idea. And I was also told that the banging stops at 2, but it's now 2:30. So, I don't know. If this is a language issue, then it's a fucking profound one. Anyway, I just went for a long walk, and I wanted to mention one thing I've noticed about Bogota that is somewhat different than other places I've been, is the amount of graffiti, like high-quality graffiti, like mural-level graffiti everywhere, more than I've ever seen in any city. And it turns out that it's actually been decriminalized. They decriminalized graffiti in 2011 because the police, like, shot a graffiti artist, a 16-year-old. So I guess it's prohibited, but they just let people do it. And I'd say it's a double-edged sword because, like, there's literally graffiti on almost every single building you see. It's as if they've just given up trying to even clean the buildings off anymore. Or maybe it's just a constant struggle, but it's incredible how much graffiti there is.
Buenos dias. We have a new room on the 8th floor with a much nicer view. The room isn't much nicer, though. This hotel kind of sucks. After being told repeatedly we'd get a new room, I finally got it at, like, I think it was 3:30 or 3 or 3:30. The crazy thing is this hotel has like a lot, like 4.7 stars on every single site. It has amazing reviews. And I just don't get it because there's not anything on this hotel that reads 4.7 stars. And today I'm going to the Salt Church, whatever it's called. It's like a underground church built in a salt mine. Apparently it's a thing to see here. So I'm doing like a all-day tour. So that'll be interesting. Patricia has to work today. So, and tonight is our last night in this hotel. God bless. We're going to a Airbnb for the next two nights, for the last two nights. I'm really having a good time with Patricia. We have a really unusual connection that I'm not sure either of us can really explain, but it's there. It's definitely there. We balance each other out well, I guess. Maybe that's it. Who knows? Anyway, that's it. I have to get ready to exist now.
There are not a lot of Americans in Colombia or in Bogota, or maybe just in this hotel. I don't know. I've seen one or two so far. The one I saw this morning at breakfast was wearing like a anti-COVID lockdown shirt with American flags all over it. And it's like, bro. But it is odd because, you know, in Mexico City, I saw lots of Americans, or at least white people. I don't know what my point is, aside from to say that, yeah, it feels pretty homogenous here. Buenos dias. I think it's day 32. It's Friday, August 22nd at 8:04 in the morning. Patricia is taking a shower. I went to the Salt Cathedral yesterday on this tour, and it was mostly fun. It was a bit awkward at times. I was the only English speaker, so I didn't understand a lot. And I mean, there were probably like 15 or so people on the tour, and they're all talking in Spanish, and I'm just like,
I'm on this tour bus going to the Salt Cathedral, and it's all in Spanish because I'm the only English speaker on this bus. So, I don't know, mountains, no idea what he's talking about.
We took a little bus, a tour bus, about an hour and a half out of Bogota to the cathedral.
I'm in this Salt Cathedral, and it's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. It's an old salt mine that was turned into a weird cathedral thing. They've got like all the signs of the cross. They've got like a cathedral area and a choir area. A lot of lights. I mean, it's all salt. It's impressive that they were able to build this thing. There's all sorts of little passageways and giant areas with like the cross and like areas with pews and shit. It's literally a cathedral built out of a salt mine. Why? I don't know.
The Salt Cathedral of Zipaquirá is an underground Catholic church carved deep into a working salt mine. Built originally in 1954 and reconstructed in 1995 for safety, it features illuminated salt-carved stations of the cross, a towering cross, and three naves symbolizing Christ's birth, life, and death. It blends engineering, faith, and artistry, has been called Colombia's first wonder, and continues to attract both pilgrims and tourists worldwide.
I'm now in this weird, like, it's like a giant salt cave that's got like this cool little restaurant in it. I'm waiting for a panini, and there's like gift stores everywhere. So like one side of this salt mine is all like the stations of the cross, which is not all that interesting to me anyway. But then there's a whole other side of this place that's like souvenir stores and a bunch of other weird stuff. Hold on, I'm getting my panini. Sí, gracias.
Everything's carved out of salt. So there's like crosses everywhere carved out of salt, and they're all little stations of the cross. It's very impressive. Even more so, I think, if you're into, you know, Jesus and God. The other half of the mine was like this random area, which had like restaurants. It had like gift shops. It had an art gallery that was all like sculptural art made of salt. That was pretty impressive, actually. And there's lots of colored lighting, which I'm a big fan of colored lighting. So that was cool.
After the Salt Cathedral, the tour that I was on went to this little town near the Salt Cathedral that, God, I wish I could, again, tell you. I should just, maybe I'll just like insert Bing Bong talking about the town.
Zipaquirá is a historic Colombian city founded in 1600, but inhabited by the Muisca people for centuries before Spanish colonization. The area was an important center for salt production, which sustained Muisca trade and wealth long before the Spanish arrival. The city preserves colonial architecture, a lively central square, and cobblestone streets. Its name comes from the Zipa, the leader of the Muisca Confederation.
Yeah, so we walked around there, very cool historic churches, all these things, and then went to lunch at this meat place. It was just like insane amounts of meat. I didn't get much meat because it was like lunch, and I don't want like a pound of meat for lunch, but people in Colombia really like their meat. But it was interesting. There was a band that played. And I ended up talking to some of the people, actually, at dinner, because some of them did speak English. There was a couple there that the man was from Peru and the woman was from Chile, but they lived in the States. They lived in the States for like 25 years in Orlando. And so I started talking to them and to the tour guide. And that part was nice, actually, because, you know, once you actually start to talk to people, once you realize you can talk to people, then, you know, you can actually get to know them as humans. And the tour guide was actually interesting because he lived in Paris for a couple years and was a tour guide there, and then thought, oh, I can go back to my home where he's grew up here. He grew up in Bogota and do this here. And so he moved back here like 6 months ago, and he's been doing tour guiding ever since. And he loves it because it's his home. So then we had lunch and took the bus back, got stuck in traffic as always. They are apparently going to build a subway, an above ground, not a subway, but an above ground train. Soon, but who knows when that's going to happen. Apparently it's the only North and South American capital city without a metro. Maybe it's large cities. I don't know. Something about it being one of the larger cities in America, in the Americas, without a metro at all. Patricia says it's August 22nd. I think it's the 32nd day of my trip. I'm here in our Airbnb with Patricia. Say hi, Patricia.
Hi.
Very good, very good. Our new Airbnb is small, but it's nice. It's in a different neighborhood, which is cool. We're doing laundry right now, which is quite exciting because I was out of underwear, and that was not going to go well. Today we went to Montserrat, which is this church on the top of a mountain here in Bogota, very famous. We took a funicular to the top, like a train kind of thing, a very steep funicular to the top, and it's at like 10,300 feet. It's a very old church. I should have looked up some interesting facts about it before.
Montserrat is a 10,341-foot mountain that towers over Bogota, crowned by a 17th-century church and shrine that draw pilgrims and visitors alike. It has long been a religious site, originally sacred to the Muisca people before the Spanish built the church dedicated to El Señor Caído, the fallen lord. Today, it is one of Bogota's most famous landmarks.
The coolest thing is you can see the whole city. Like, it's a beautiful view of the entire city of Bogota. Like, incredible. And, yeah, we walked around there. We took some pictures of ourselves. It was really pretty up there. What was I going to say about it? Oh, it did occur to me when I was up there looking at the view of Bogota with Patricia there that if you would have told me a year ago that I was going to be in Bogota, Colombia with my Mexican girlfriend, I would have told you you were out of your mind. But here we are. Life changes quickly sometimes and unexpectedly and in good ways. So I'll take it. So on the way down, we took it was like a cable car. Is that what they call it? Like a gondola kind of scenario. And the line for that was very, very long. And I'm not good in long lines or crowds, as Patricia has become aware. But we finally got on the thing. What's it, Patricia? What are you going to say?
For the laundry.
Oh, Patricia's going to go get the laundry. That's very nice. The laundry bag is, my laundry bag is down on the table downstairs, the gray one. She's not saying anything because she doesn't want to interrupt the podcast, I guess. She's going to have to talk on the podcast at some point. I'll get a couple of drinks in her. She'll talk a little more if she gets a couple of drinks. She's giving me a look right now. Anyway, we took the gondola down, and then we went to the Botero Museum. I didn't really know Botero. Once I saw a few of his paintings, I was like, oh, I get it. I remember him from art history. He just draws basically fat people and fat things,
And it's quite funny. He has a famous one of a fat Mona Lisa. He has one of a fat nun. He has one of fat Adam and Eve. They're all very funny. And he died in like, 2 years ago, I guess. But he has this entire collection in this beautiful house of the paintings that he has collected and his paintings and sculptures and so forth. And there was like Picasso's and Rembrandt's and no Rembrandt's that I saw actually. Uh-oh, Patricia's at the door.
We met in an app and I thought that your pictures were really bad.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh.
So I have my questions about who was you really. And then I can say that finally, the day that I met you, when I was crossing the street and I saw you, I thought like, the pictures are really bad.
She fainted on the street when she saw me.
No, not. But I thought that you were sexy.
The pictures, I think, are still good that I have on my dating that I had on my dating profile. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, they worked on you.
You insisted.
If the pictures were so bad, then why did you click? Why did you swipe on me?
I don't know. I was in the mood, maybe, and you was insisting.
No. But you swiped on me, so we wouldn't have matched had you not swiped on me.
I saw already that you like me because it's this app that you saw when people like you. And I think I don't remember if it was a message that you sent me or something that I thought like, maybe I can give a chance.
That doesn't make me feel as good about.
But I can say we might feel like saw you in person since the first time. I feel attracted to you.
And now how's it going?
Fine.
good. Fine. That's great. I'll take it. Tonight we went to what was the name of that nightclub we went to?
The one that we didn't stay because it was...
No, the one that we stayed at with the demon people, the horned people running around.
Andrés Carne de Res.
Yeah, Andrea Carne de Res.
Carne?
Carne.
De Res.
De Leves.
Res. Res. Res.
Can't do that sound.
Self R.
I'm going to be honest. I feel like I was disappointing tonight because I didn't... Like, I wanted to dance, and I offered to go out there and dance, but you
but the
didn't...
The music was bad.
What?
The music was not...
Really... I didn't mind the music.
I did one song. Right. One singer, I like it.
Well, I would have gone out... I just wanted to be clear that I would have gone out and danced had you pulled me out there.
I thought that was more comfortable to stay there than be in the dance floor.
All right. I don't feel so bad anymore. Because sometimes I do want to go dance with you.
Sometimes?
I definitely do. Maybe next time I'm in Mexico. There's a funny story. When I was in Mexico, me and Patricia met. We spent like the whole week together. And then I think it was the last night that I was there. And we went to that nightclub. I forget what was it called?
Patrick Miller.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Miller nightclub. And we went there. I think it was probably like 10 or 11. And we got there. And like there was nobody there. And we paid the cover. And we went in. And it was just empty. And we just stood around for like 10 minutes. And we're like, let's just go. We have to try that again, but we'd have to stay up late. That's the problem.
There are different bars that we can try.
It's just difficult because like, if the band doesn't start till midnight or whatever.
There are some places that they start earlier.
Okay. Well, next time I'm in Mexico City, we'll try a different one. Yeah. How many times have you been to Colombia, Patricia?
Like 5, I think so.
Oh. Am I still invited to the wedding in Medellin?
I don't know. I need to ask to my friend.
Oh, now it's not. And now I'm getting uninvited to the wedding. Look at that. You don't even get a plus one?
I don't know.
Oh. All right.
I need to ask.
Tell me about your job.
Which job?
The best one.
I know. It's difficult. I have like my heart is with one, but I like sometimes to do different things.
Which one is your heart with?
The one that is my full time.
What is it? What do you do?
I am project manager. In charge of the implementation and the selection of partnerships.
She works in a nonprofit.
A national organization.
And she helps developing countries, people in, if you're going to have to correct me because you're not going to tell me. In developing countries, you help organizations that are doing green energy projects or projects that are good for the environment, helps them deal with getting funded and navigating the government.
Through like get investment.
Getting the money to make the things work.
And enable their environment through these different policies, like barriers that they have.
Which country has been the most...
impressive?
Yeah.
Impressive in which way?
I don't know. Like, which country have you worked with the most in terms of getting green energy projects off the ground?
I work with all of them.
Every single one? America too? United States?
No. Yeah, maybe Africa has been impacting me more. And depends on the project. Some countries are more interesting than others. But I can say that Asia is also very, very impressive. They are using a lot of technology. That is quite impressive. So I cannot choose one.
But not the United States?
No. Well, no. I don't know what is happening in the U.S.
Neither do I, yeah. No, I don't think anybody does. Tell me about the first time that you went scuba diving.
Was in Mahahual.
How old were you?
I was... good question. Maybe 25, 26, I think so. Yeah, like 26.
Okay, and is this something you'd wanted to try for a long time, or was this somebody else's idea?
No. I always wanted to try it, but a friend convinced me to do it, like, rather than wait, because I was always thinking, like, well, maybe one day that I do it in... that I go to the beach and I have time so I can get certified and dive. So I don't know when it will be. And a friend convinced me to take the course in Mexico City, and where I learned to dive. And then we went to the beach to prove ourselves and get the certification. So I can say to anyone that feel like, yes, once I will do it, just do it in any city where you are. Yeah, has been one of the best experiences of my life.
Like, you knew right away that this was a thing that you were like, oh, this is my jam.
Yeah, I can say that it's an expensive hobby, but is you feel adventure, but in one way it's quite safe. Yeah, it's another feeling to be under sea.
How many times have you done it now, you think?
Maybe around... between 60 and 70 now, but I would like to do it more often. If I will be living in the beach, yes, I will. I am quite jealous of those divers that live just in the beach and they can do it every weekend.
Was there one that sticks out, or one dive that sticks out and you're like, oh, this was amazing, we saw this?
I think it's difficult. I can say which one has been my worst.
Okay.
My worst one has been in U.S.
Of course. Where in the U.S.
In Florida. So at the beginning, when I learned, I wanted to dive in every place. Doesn't matter if it was famous, good or not. I wanted to dive. So we went to Miami, and was like, okay, beach, Caribbean, perfect, no? So I found on the internet this dive center close to Miami, but was in the Florida area, no? So, yeah, we were in this boat and were like maybe like 20 or almost 30. It was quite crowded. So what happens is that the guys that were like sailing, or how do you call the captain?
The captain of the ship or whatever.
Yes, yeah. They were drinking.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Exactly. They were drinking with all the divers, like a full boat of divers. Then... no one went with us. So my partner was my partner. They were like, to the others, they were like teaching them like, okay, this is the way that you navigate. And it's the first time that they have a, how do you call this, brújula? The thing that you see the east, west.
Compass.
The compass, exactly. So yeah, was the first time that some people saw a compass, like use a compass in his life. So the good part is that my body, he knew how to do it. No, and he was even very prepared, because like in the Caribbean it's normal that you have this, how is the name of this kind of balloon fish? I forget, globe.
Blowfish, pufferfish?
Exactly. Like yeah. So because they are a plague in the Caribbean, in some places you are allowed to kill them because they are damaging the coral. They eat the coral.
Okay.
So this guy was a kill of pufferfish. They were like the assassin. He was like killing all the pufferfish. He has
diving, he's killing them all.
Exactly.
Wow.
He was a master of the pufferfish.
Wow.
So he was really good. But the things that we saw first I have this memory of a shark going swimming through a car battery in the bottom of the sea.
Swimming through a what?
Car battery.
Through a battery of a car.
Battery of a car. So you have the battery of a car in the sea and a shark swimming through there.
America is a beautiful country.
No, that is like, yeah, just like it's stuck in my mind. I cannot forget
that's very depressing.
Plus, I was just new, so I couldn't like control my, it's not floatability. Floatability is the word I forget.
Buoyancy.
Buoyancy, yeah. The buoyancy word. So the buoyancy, so I was like very unstable, blah, blah. And one of the rules in the dive is you need to do a safety stop. Is 3 minutes below 5 meters of the surface, no? So it's a way that your body decompresses.
Right.
Depending of how long did you dive, the deepness, blah, blah, otherwise you require more stuff,
that
no?
Freaks me out.
But it's the general one. So I couldn't control my buoyancy and I went up. And so I went up and this captain and the other guy that were drinking, they were like shouting me, where is your body? Where is your body? You can kill your body. You are so responsible. They were drinking.
Right, right.
And they were telling to me that I wasn't responsible because I even knew, I was just new diving.
Very Florida. Very, very Florida. Yeah.
So, sorry, Florida, but don't dive.
No, it's okay. You can, Florida has a reputation for a reason, and I feel like that's...
I imagine that there are another, like, that's why this guy was diving every day there. But my experience is I don't want to dive in Florida.
Was it not expensive, this dive?
In general, it's more or less the same everywhere.
Even in, like, poorer countries, it's still expensive?
Yeah. Oh. Only sometimes when you have a more offer than demand, it becomes cheaper, like Egypt. That is amazing and it's quite cheap. But in general, it's expensive. I hear that Philippines, but I never dive in Philippines or been in Philippines. That is also cheap. And some places it could be slightly more expensive.
I've heard the Philippines, just going there is like super, super cheap.
Mm-hmm. So maybe also that's why. And sometimes it could be cheaper because of the currency, but then most of the times the dives are in US dollars.
Right, because it's wealthier people that are doing the dives and not the locals that are doing the dives.
No, locals do that. So when you are local, sometimes you get local prices. And also you can get discounts because you have your equipment and it's only the gas that you require. So yeah, so that's why the people that lives in the beach is they can do it more easy.
But you don't have like a tank.
I need a tank for a dive, yes.
You rent one, right?
You rent one, but you can feel that it's easier. You are only paying for that.
Right, but you have like your own wetsuit.
Yeah, I have my own wetsuit. Oh.
I can't do it. I can't breathe out of my mouth like that. Do you want to ask me any questions on...
Tell me why you wanted to become a podcaster.
I don't know that I necessarily wanted to become a podcaster, but I wanted to make this podcast for like 10 years because I realized that I had all these friends and I didn't know, like you meet people and you meet them at a certain point in their life, like you, for example, even. You meet them at a certain point in your life and you never really take the time to like learn about their past and who they were, right? Like their childhood, their...
So you wanted to interview people about their past?
I did, actually. Like I interviewed quite a few friends, actually, like 10 years ago, just about like getting to know them better than I... Because, you know, how often do you sit down with friends that you met 5 years ago and talk about your entire life, right? And that was kind of, that was it, really. I realized that if you put a microphone in front of people, generally speaking, some exceptions, of course, that people will open up more about their lives. If you're forced to sit there and talk, then you go into interesting places that you wouldn't normally go.
So which is your best memory of the past of your life?
Of my whole life?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a hard one. I mean, I would say that Sundance, getting into Sundance Film Festival was a big one. Mm. That was a very good memory. I remember very vividly my first week of living in New York City. That was a really amazing, because I never thought I'd live in New York City. And what about you? What's yours?
Yeah, maybe I have like flash of my life that I like.
Like what?
I like that I was living in Spain, that I was living in UK, that my 20s has really good moments, but my 30s also.
Well, you don't remember, like, there's nothing in particular that you...
Many things. My friends. Yeah.
Let me think. Patricia.
This, do you tell me that will not be a long interview?
Okay, we'll start wrapping it up. It's only been, most interviews go for like 2 hours. This has been 30 minutes. It's not that long.
I think it's enough.
Okay, I'm going to ask three more questions. Okay. Maybe two. Patricia, do you think that we will still know each other in 1 year's time?
Yeah, I think there's chances for that.
A chance for that. Mm, interesting answer. I'll edit that one out. What else was I going to ask you?
One more. No pressure.
I don't have any more questions, I don't think.
Visit Mexico, but not too much. Pay the reasonable prices.
What'd you say again?
That I don't know if you wanted to say, yes, go to Mexico.
Oh, yeah, go to Mexico, but don't go to Mexico because it's horrible there. Don't go there. Stay away from Mexico City. It's an awful place. You'll hate it. Yeah.
If you go there, just pay reasonable prices. Don't overtip. Don't pay more.
Yeah, but just don't go in general because it's a horrible, horrible place and nobody likes it there and it's very, very expensive.
It's being sarcastic.
Don't tell them that because then they're going to know.
Exactly, but yeah, don't overtip.
And the women, and the women there are very, very ugly.
More problems for the city,
right?
Because it has been now highly gentrified.
Yes,
so if you wanted to go there, you need to be responsible.
Some of the most unattractive women in the whole world too. Very unattractive women.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't go there. Not. I was going to ask you about the fact that you've dated two guys from Ohio, but I think we can let that question go.
I can say there are so different guys in Ohio. No.
What did you say?
Are very different guys in Ohio.
Oh, you're saying that I'm better than the other one.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I never imagined to be involved in Ohio again.
Yeah. So the first night that me and Patricia met, we had dinner at a restaurant that she made me pick because I'm not sure why, and it was a horrible restaurant.
Because I wanted to take the initiative.
Yeah, I did, but it wasn't a very good restaurant, though. We went to an amazing rooftop bar, didn't we? But I don't know how long we had been talking, and then she tells me that the last guy she dated was...
Not the last guy. That formally dated.
Okay. Sorry. But was from Cincinnati, Ohio. No?
Was from a town close to Cincinnati.
Right, like a suburb of Cincinnati.
Troy. He was from Troy.
Right, it's a suburb of Cincinnati.
And he was living in a... Not even in Troy, in a...
Okay, he was living with his parents, and yeah, yeah.
Not his parents, but he was there.
Okay, whatever. It doesn't. Now you're going. You're defending. It sounds like you're defending him now. Like you're making.
I am not defending, but I am telling this story true.
All right. So anyway, so she's dated now two guys from Ohio. What are the odds of that?
Even every time that I went to Ohio was a nightmare in customs and immigration because Mexicans don't go there for. Tourists. It's not a place that you usually go for. Oh, I wanted to visit Ohio. I wonder, Ohio is so attractive to me. Let's go to Ohio for holidays.
All right, Patricia, that's enough.
But I know that some people, mainly in your podcast, they love to live in Columbus and they love Ohio. It's good for them. I can say my experience is not a state that I will be like, wow. But yeah, I appreciate.
Just because you went out with some loser from Ohio, then ended up being a sociopath or something, doesn't mean that all Ohioans and that Ohio's bad. Maybe he just didn't show you the right part of Ohio.
That's why maybe I need to go again. But my experience in Ohio, the parents of this guy were amazing, but this guy becomes a lunatic. Or not. Maybe they didn't become, maybe always was.
Yeah, maybe. I would say at this point that if you come to Ohio, I'll show you a great time in Ohio, but I honestly don't know that I actually... I mean...
Ohio's not a popular state.
Okay, easy, because we have a lot of...
It's not a popular state to visit.
Okay, right. It's not a tourist destination, generally speaking, no. I agree with that. Although a lot of people who work for the city of Columbus would disagree, which is ridiculous to me because I agree with you. Why would anybody want to go? Why would anybody spend their hard-earned money and be like, I'm going to go on vacation to Columbus, Ohio? I don't get it either. No, I'm with you. That's why I'm in Bogota right now.
I went to the university. It was nice.
The Ohio State University?
Yes.
It's great. My dad went there. So did my sister.
The campus was amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a nice, I mean, you should see where I went to. Well, if you ever come to Ohio, we'll go to Athens, Ohio. We'll go to Ohio University. That's a very beautiful campus. It's much, much better.
It's a competition?
It's not even a competition. There's no competition. Ohio University is better, period, the end. Yeah. Okay, we'll wrap it up. Patricia, anything else you would like to say?
Listen to the podcast, subscribe to Pigeon Page.
One more time?
Subscribe to Pigeon Page.
Rate, review, and subscribe, you mean?
Yeah, but this, which is the page? Is the Patreon?
Oh, go to my Patreon.
Patreon, sorry. Yeah, go to the Patreon page, subscribe, give money. Thousands is better, but in dollars, not in pesos.
Good job.
Yeah, have fun.
I'm trying to think if I have anything else.
Thank you.
Thank you for actually talking to my podcast, Patricia, finally.
Okay.
Everybody's been wanting to hear your voice for a long time, and now they get to hear it.
Now you get to hear her laugh. See, listen.
That's what Patricia sounds like when she's laughing. Okay, it is our final night in Bogota. We're packing up our stuff and getting ready to go to our last dinner here. There's Patricia wearing lovely earrings and looking very nice tonight. We woke up slowly because last night we went to I think I talked about the crazy club with the demon people last night. The horned people dancing. Anyway, and today we woke up late and we went to a breakfast at a crepe place. And then we went on a walking tour, and it was nice. We learned a lot about the city. I thought it was interesting that Bogota has one of the biggest emerald markets in the world, and there's like a genuine emerald market where you can go and buy like emeralds that are legit and with paperwork and all that, and then there's like an outdoor market where you can buy like random emeralds with no paperwork and pay with cash and all that. But the emeralds are all real. It's just like different levels of qualities. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. But yeah, it was a really cool tour. We saw parts of the town we never saw. This like old historic part of town that we ended up abandoning the tour about halfway through and then wandering around the historic part of town and eating at this very cool restaurant with like a spiral staircase to the top floor. I'll put pictures on the Patreon page. Where do we go next? We just wandered around, ended up at this print shop where I bought my souvenir. It was getting very, very crowded. We were in like a crazy crowded area. So we went and tried to get a taxi back, an Uber back. But it was like 6 or something, or 5. I don't know. What time was it? 5 or 6? Yeah. And so we couldn't get one, so we kept walking, and then we ended up in like a sketchy part of town. And then we were waiting like 10 minutes for an Uber in kind of a sketchy part of town. So Patricia kept trying to buy drugs from people. ¿Dónde están las drogas? That's what she kept saying. She's not laughing, but I am. She thinks I'm funny. Sometimes. She just said sometimes. No, Patricia did not try to buy any drugs. It was a little sketchy, but the Uber showed up and we made it back. And I'm probably skipping over things, but now I have to look for a restaurant for dinner tonight because Patricia has found the restaurant for the last night. And she made it very clear that I was to find the restaurant. Isn't that right? Yeah. She said, yeah, but she said it very quietly because she's done with me and my microphone chicanery.
Hmm. Well, you can see what is there.
See what?
Rooftop.
Oh, she's interested in this rooftop bar that's across the way. The Airbnb we're staying in has a giant floor-to-ceiling window. It's like a small loft space, but the window goes on both floors. So you can kind of, and we're on the 7th floor, so it's kind of an amazing view out, mostly to other giant apartment buildings. But you can also see like a rooftop bar, and we went on the roof tonight, like a half an hour ago, and saw the sunset. It's quite pretty. You know, I like Bogota. I like some things about it, but I also like the traffic is really a deal breaker. I've probably spent about 10 hours in traffic.
And it really kind of ruins the experience of the city in some ways because you're spent so much time just sitting in a car, moving nowhere. But then today, the areas of town we saw were super, super cool. So I like that part. Very hilly, old, cute, quaint-looking buildings. Cool architecture. A lot of amazing murals. So many amazing murals in this town. And the weather, I really like the weather, actually, except for the sun today, which was a bit oppressive. Anything to add, Patricia?
No.
Not a single thing?
Have a good night.
Assuming you're listening to this at night.
Have a good day.
She said have a good day or have a good night. Depending on when you're listening to this, listener, Patricia wishes you either a good day or a good night. And we have to get up quite early tomorrow to get to the airport for Patricia's flight. And I'm going to go with her because I decided it would be too depressing to stay in this Airbnb by myself for a few hours. And I probably would be awake anyway. So it's more fun to go with her. So I'm doing that because I'm a wonderful man. See, she's nodding. Good.
Señores pasajeros, por favor, retírense de las puertas y recuerden que los niños están al cuidado de los adultos. Dear passengers, please stand clear from the doors and remember that adults are...
Adults are what?
Sometimes you have nights that are just so unexpectedly magical that you can't help but, like, pinch yourself a little bit. Tonight was one of those nights. Yeah, we went to this Korean restaurant. It was called Misuk, Restaurante Korea Misuk, and they mentioned Pyongyang bibimbap. And Pyongyang is, of course, in North Korea, and how can you not be curious about that? Anyway, so we went there and had bibimbap. We bibimbapped it. The restaurant was, like, empty. We were the only ones in there. And I was totally curious to know, like, how this restaurant ended up in Bogota. And we were asking the waiter, like, you know, how is this North Korean different than South Korean bibimbap, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, the owner of this Swiss guy named Michael comes out and starts talking to us about how he worked for the Red Cross. I think his degree was in, like, prosthetics. And he got a directive to go to North Korea to build, I think it was, like, recovery centers because people were having frostbite so bad because they didn't have proper footwear and it was so cold. People were, like, getting, like, amputating their legs themselves and stuff. And so he went, moved to North Korea and lived there as a Swiss man and met a North Korean woman and fell in love with her. And his wife is a dancer. And, I don't remember the whole rest of the story. Swiss man married a North Korean woman, started a restaurant in Bogota with their kids. He shared his best soju with us. Told us stories about getting out of North Korea. I think he's going to be on the podcast. He gave me his email address. And we met his wife, who's a North Korean, and his kids. So it was pretty special.
And then we met the women on the street. They needed real help with the Uber.
Not even a smile from Patricia. I don't know if she understands my humor sometimes. But as we're walking, we're walking back to the Airbnb here, and we're just walking down the street, and these two women... like, can you help us in English? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And Patricia's like, yeah, yeah. And clearly Americans. And I'm like, how do we get? And this, I'm not exaggerating the voice. They're like, they're showing us their phone. Like, how do we get here? They have a map app. They have like Apple Maps. How do we get to this? And it's like some steakhouse they're trying to get to. And it's like a 7-minute drive. So they're clearly, they can't walk to it. But then, what do we do? How do we get an Uber? Can you help us get an Uber? Where are you from in the States? They didn't even know how to use the Uber app. So we had to, you know, open the Uber app for them on one of their phones. And of course, I mean, they're probably two women in their 60s, maybe. Patricia opened the Uber app and types in the destination. And
thank you so much. It was so wonderful. Thank you for your help. Oh, thank you.
I don't know what they would have done if they hadn't come across us. I have no idea. I'm about to board my plane to leave Bogota right now, to leave Colombia. I saw Patricia off about 3 or 4 hours ago. It was real sad. I'm going to edit this podcast while I'm on the plane, I think. I'm flying to Panama City first and then to San Francisco, just like last time. I'm excited to go. I am. I had to get check my bag. I wish I could say more now, but I can't because I gotta get on the plane. But adios.
Yayi lo tienes. I hope you enjoyed listening to that episode as much as I enjoyed making it. It wasn't exactly the Bogota episode that I expected to make, but life isn't always the life we expect it to be, is it? All the music you heard in this episode, including what you're hearing underneath my voice right now, was recorded in various locations in Bogota over the past week. This one was actually recorded at the meat restaurant after the Salt Cathedral tour. I haven't asked for a while, so I'm going to do it now. Please like, rate, subscribe, and review on whatever podcasting platform you're listening to this on. It does help, and it does bring me joy. And please do share this podcast with anybody you know who may possibly enjoy it. Your mom, your brother, your sister, your kid, anyone. You can text them a link. And then they write back, I don't have Spotify, if you send them a Spotify link. And then you write, well, it's easy. All you have to do, just search for 1F Jeff on whatever podcast platform you use. And then they say, I don't listen to podcasts. And then you say, well, you should start listening to podcasts. And you should start with 1F Jeff.
Very good, Jeffrey.